Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, Soxtober, let's go!
What's up, Joe? What's up, Joe?
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Each week during the football season, we have Joe Ostrowski on the show. He is the host of Bet Sweats on radio.com, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can listen to the podcast whenever you want. Usually, we are talking to him about the football weekend, some of the things that you should bet, including the Bears games. That's not the place I'm going to start with Joe in our conversation today. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to check out in Melrose Park. You can also check out alpamonteford.com. Joseph, thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it. And Joe is on the Twitch stream, too, if you want to check out the Score's Twitch stream. We are both there available for you.
Twitch, all right, Joe. Twitch.
That's right. If you get an itch, then you do the Twitch in Bedrock. Joe, did you place any tickets on the White Sox to win the World Series?
Maybe. I may have been texting you Saturday morning, very nervous about what I should do. Maybe. Saturday morning, PointsBet launched in Illinois. That was the fourth mobile sports betting book that we have there. I've got some info on that. We'll go over that in just a quick second about you crazy gamblers out there in the state of Illinois with no sports going on. You're still just gambling everything. I placed the first bet at PointsBet, and I was going back and forth trying to figure out a local angle, and I was asking you, I said, so the NFC North is wide open. I think you could make a case for any team, literally any team. I'm not necessarily high on the Bears, but they could win the North, and they are a 5-1. And if we're localizing it, I was trying to come up with anything else. Cubs, no.
You're not buying the Cubs.
Cubs are not winning the World Series? No, they're not winning the World Series. But I'm looking at your White Sox, Lawrence, and I see 14-1, 14-1. And sure, a lot of the value is gone. If you go back to the winter, they were 60-1. Make additions in free agency. They start to get that hype, 40-1, 30-1. It's in the 20s when the shortened season started. It feels like all the value is gone, but they're 14-1. And now, just a matter of days later, they have the best record in the American League. Today they're 12-1. So I have a hefty ticket on the White Sox. Every game I'm just going to be drenched. It is going to be a sweat. I'll be pacing like it's 2016 all over my house, and I cannot wait. I'm sitting here. It's a football Friday, Lawrence. I'm going over the lines all week. Every day on BetSweats, we're talking about football for 2 hours. And you know what I'm going over today? Are the Indians or Blue Jays a better opponent for us?
You joined up us because that ticket could be no Sotros. Like that ticket could be a winner for you. Oh God, I love it. I love it. Is there any other team that you think presents a great value baseball wise, or is the White Sox the best value that's out there?
You know, I was high on the Reds coming into the season. They were some of their hitters, very unlucky starts with batting average of balls in play. We know about the great rotation. At the moment, they're second place in the National League Central. I think they're going to hang on and get into the postseason. That's a team that could get on a run. They could absolutely go on a deep run. I'm not looking for any long shots in the American League because of the gauntlet that you have to go through. Look at some of these teams you have to take down, like the White Sox. You got to take down the White Sox. And also like the Rays and the A's. And it's just too much, I think, for a team that's up against it. However, on the National League side, if you want to take a team that's going to be a 6, 7, or 8 seed, I think you have a shot. And the Reds are a team like that. A few weeks ago, I grabbed them at 50-1. So, sure, if you want to look on the National League side, I think there's value. But I was looking today, and even today, with the best record in the AL, the White Sox are the 8th favorite at 12-1. On the American League side, there are 4 teams that still have lower odds. Rays, Yankees, Twins, and Athletics all have lower odds than the White Sox. So a lot of people are saying, okay, yeah, that's nice. They're popular. People love them. They can mash the baseball. They'll kill any lefty you throw out against them. But I still want to see it when it's for real.
Joe, I ran across the numbers of the amount of money that sports betting in Illinois has generated. I'm not surprised, but there wasn't a lot that was going on early on for the numbers that we're now seeing. How did the state raise $62 million in sports betting money?
Well, it was a $62 million handle, which means that's how much money was wagered. And this is the 1 week of March. And remember, before the tournament, we were about to have the conference tournament in college basketball start. It was 1 week in March, June, and July, and there was $62 million bet. Keep in mind, most of that was at one sports book. One. It's very different with the number that we have open right now. At the time, for much of that, there was no mobile or there was one mobile. Major League Baseball started a week before the end of July. The NBA restart was on July 30th. NHL was in August, not part of this. So yeah, $62 million kind of blew me away because it was mostly golf and NASCAR and KBO, like what else was going on? So what's it going to be with the NFL? And once college football ramps up, golf majors like the U.S. Open going on right now or the Masters in a couple of months, these numbers are going to be insane. And as of Tuesday, we got our 5th mobile book. So now we have 5 mobile books, sports books in the state. At the Illinois Gaming Board meeting yesterday, they mentioned that as of earlier this week, there are more than 230,000 mobile sports betting accounts in Illinois. 230,000 already.
Wow.
And if you're thinking about betting on sports, get registered now. Because the executive order that Pritzker put out there for remote registration, remember the law says in-person registration. So we have remote registration right now. The state is starting to make some money off of that, but that executive order expires tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to continue. There's a chance it goes away. So if you haven't bet or you're thinking about it, I would just get those apps on your phone before it goes away because there is a chance that that happens.
Let's talk about this Bears game coming up. Was there anything that hit from last week's game that surprised you with the Bears?
No, not really. I'm not expecting a repeat performance out of this defense. I guess a little bit the Lions run game. And for years now, I mean, we addressed this last week. For years, this has been one of the poor run games in the NFL. But I thought they'd do a better job against. And now you get Saquon Barkley. Only had 6 rushing yards on Monday night. I don't think we're going to see a repeat of that out of Saquon. But that's it. I mean, the Trubisky struggles, that's not a surprise. The line is... Here's what is shocking. Explain this to me. So Mitchell Trubisky is poor for 3 quarters. It's terrible. He played bad against a bad defense in the Lions. And then they get all these injuries at cornerback, and then he starts to shine. And you have a dense head coach that continues to go with man defense against Trubisky no matter how many times he lights them up. And the line is 5.5 against the Giants. The Bears are 5.5-point favorites. So what that line tells me is that if fans were allowed at the game, that the Bears would be more than touchdown favorites against the Giants because home field is a point, maybe a half a point after they should have lost the game last week. They should have Swift dropped the ball. I'm not taking anything away from Mitchell Trubisky or the Bears offense, but if he catches the ball, I feel like the conversation is completely different. We're actually entertaining the thought of replacing Trubisky with Nick Foles. Last year, Bears beat the Giants 19-14. Remember one of those short touchdowns set up by a strip sack by Khalil Mack? So I don't understand the 5.5. I don't get it. Here's one thing on a betting angle that does jump out to me. I would take the Giants. I'd be a little surprised if it sits at 5, 5.5 by the time we get to kickoff. It's either going to go up or down a little bit. Allen Robinson, a motivated A-Rob looking to get paid. How many targets is he going to get this week? He had 6 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown against this Giants defense off of 10 targets. We know about his motivation. And last week against the Steelers, if you have A-Rob lining up in the slot like he did last year, expect success again. Juju Smith-Schuster, he had 2 touchdowns working out of the slot on Monday night with the Steelers.
What'd you think of the 2 games between the NFC North? Like, obviously, you're watching the Bears versus the Lions. Did you go ahead and say, hey, I'm gonna bet that the Vikings finish last in the division?
I did. I did bet that after giving that hot take last week that the team favored to win the division is going to finish in last place. I feel good about it for a week. I believe it was plus 550. I bet 100 win $550. Division up for grabs. I felt any team could finish in last place, and everything is going up against the Vikings. All the change in the secondary. Danielle Hunter not out there for the time being. They did not sack Aaron Rodgers last week. They couldn't stop it, not only through the air. It wasn't just Aaron Rodgers. They couldn't stop the ground attack either. They gave up 158 yards on the ground. One of my favorite plays this week is the Colts, -3 against the Vikings. I still don't know how the Colts lost that game. Tell me Minshew mania all the time and his efficiency, 19 for 20, and I give him credit, a 6-round quarterback. What's that like, finding a quarterback in a draft, then having success with him? But the Colts didn't punt in the game, Lawrence, and they only scored 20 points. They weren't able to finish those drives off, 6.4 yards per play. If the Colts offense repeats that at home against what I believe is going to be a brutal Vikings D this season, they shouldn't have a problem winning by at least a field goal.
Do you believe what you saw from the Packers offense, or was it a byproduct of them going up against the Vikings team that you hate?
Yeah, so, man, this week, big question. Everybody's jumping on Green Bay. You look at the injury report, like, how is Detroit going to win the game? How is it possible? What I'll bring up is, again, they should have won last week, and Detroit has covered 6 times in a row against the Packers. These two teams always play tight games. Jeff Okuda might make his debut, rookie cornerback. He's going to be a good player. Is he going to be a good player in the first game of his life? Now you're going up against Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. Good luck. Desmond Trufant, Darrell Roberts, also in the secondary, have not practiced this week. Kenny Golladay, again, he's not practicing. I think the Packers offense should score a lot of points, but you know how the North is. It's tough in back-to-back weeks to win by multiple scores.
Joe, how do you handle in-game betting? Do you do any of it?
A little bit. I'll keep an eye on it for certain games. Here's what I hate about the NFL, and we were dealing with this in week one. You just get so overwhelmed. Why did we have 9 games at noon or whatever?
I didn't understand that either.
It's so frustrating. For our jobs, we have to pay close attention to the Bears and what's happening in the division. But it's impossible to keep up. But like on Monday night, I was able to do that because there's not too much going on. Okay, I'm watching the Steelers. I didn't want to take them at -6, but I was thinking, okay, maybe there's a perfect spot. If I see how Ben looks and he looks all right, maybe I'll get a better number in game. So I was able to do it in that game because in the second quarter, the Steelers were favored by 2.5. I jumped on at the I rarely time it perfectly, but it worked out for me. So I do it once in a while. I don't do it every single day, but sometimes there are lines where you like a team, but you don't want to take them as a 4 or 5 point favorite. If they were 3, you would take them. If they were inside of a field goal, you would take them. So yeah, there are some games that I keep an eye on, and I'm hoping for that perfect moment with a lot of time left. If you can get them inside of a field goal or inside of a touchdown, I do it, but I don't do it as much as some people. Some sportsbooks say that's half the handle right now. That's what people love so much. I know it's much more popular in Europe than it is in the States.
Can you believe that the Bears haven't given Allen Robinson a contract extension?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, okay, what's the case? Is there a case to be made against doing it? Is there a
no.
case?
Unless he's injured and we don't know it. And if he were, I mean, he's playing, so he's not injured.
The only thing I can come up with, and, you know, I don't like Ryan Pace at all. I think he's terrible at his job. He's one of the worst general managers in the NFL. The only case I can come up with is, are we at the end of our window right now with Khalil Mack, and we gave a lot of money to Quinn? Is the defense going to be that good? Is this the window? Is it slamming shut? Because we still don't have a quarterback. So we're not going to get the most out of Allen Robinson, even though he's been a true number one here. Is it worth it for us to pay him now? Because after years and years without some of these top picks, I think the next couple of years are going to be some trying times for the Bears. And I don't know if Ryan Pace is going to be here to fix it. We'll see what happens this season. But the case that you can make is they don't have a quarterback. And do they believe this window is about to close? And if they think that, what's the point in paying A-Rob? Because maybe when they're ready to win again, he's going to be past his prime in a few years.
Joe,
I'm not saying that's my opinion. That's just a case that I think can be made.
It's a bad one. It's one that Ryan Pace might make, but you're right. You can check out Joe on Bet Sweats 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on radio.com. You can check the podcast. When's the next score show you're doing?
Early odds tomorrow morning, 8 a.m.
Check out Joe tomorrow morning on the score, 8 a.m. He'll be breaking everything down that you need to know for the NFL weekend and a little bit of White Sox stuff there too, which
you're
is
right.
Nice
yes.
to hear. Joe, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Am I seeing you later?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay.
I'm afraid of Americans. So we'll see. Maybe you might see me later on.
Okay.
That is Joe Ostrowski. He is fantastic. We need to take a break. I want to get back to talking a little bit about the White Sox. I want to let Herbie get in on this because he hasn't really had a chance to talk about the White Sox. And I want to talk about the Cubs, too. There was something that one of our guests said about the Cubs and their approach to the rest of this season that I think that you'll find intriguing. We'll discuss that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I've got a little bit of good news for you on the Bears front. Go ahead and turn the volume up. Robert Quinn participated fully in practice today. He is listed officially as questionable, like JJ said, for Sunday's game against the Giants over at Soldier Field. Usually, Friday practices are the easiest of the week practices. In some cases, it's a walkthrough. But the fact that he had full participation in it is good. I imagine they'll monitor what's going on with his ankle, and then a decision will be made if he can go 100% and be ready to roll for the Bears on Sunday against the Giants. So that's some really good news that he made it through practice, and hopefully we get a chance to see him. I want to see what he looks like opposite Khalil Mack and with Akeem Hicks in the middle of that defensive line, because I think that it has the opportunity to be really good and make the Bears a tougher team to beat. White Sox have clinched a playoff spot. Their magic number is 6 to clinch the American League Central. Herbie spoke a little bit earlier with his production skills about the White Sox, and now I want to give him a chance to speak with his own voice about how he feels about this. How do you feel about this?
I feel great about it. I feel, like I was telling Taney last night, I feel better about beating the Twins 3 out of 4 yesterday. Just like it's the monkey that's been on their back, and I felt on game 2 of this week, they realized, the White Sox did, that they're better than the Twins. Like, that whole bugaboo of, man, these guys were the reigning champs, and they
hit all these home runs.
Yeah, they slapped us when we had our heads up in the clouds to start the season, and then we went to Minnesota, we won that first game, and they slapped us back down to second, third place again. And then this series, they were like, yeah, we got 4 against these guys. You know we are going to hit Barrios. We're going to hit all the rest of these guys. They can't run with us. Enjoy yourself, Byron Buxton, have a series. But we're taking 3 out of 4. But for them to go to the playoffs for the first time in 12 years, it hasn't hit me yet because of this playoff structure this year. But it's a great accomplishment, a year ahead of where I thought it would be. Kudos to Rick Hahn. Kudos to Kenny Williams. Kudos to Jerry Reinsdorf for being able
patient
to
yes.
do what he did and letting Rick Hahn do this whole rebuild thing and Kenny to go along with it, because we know that Kenny has that mentality of going for it all the time. And so good job for those guys not doing half measures anymore, going fully for it, and now they're reaping the rewards of what they have done.
I will say that the one thing, and you brought it up, the one thing that does give me a little bit of pause is Byron Buxton clicking on. Like, he's a problem, and I wonder how the Cubs are going to approach dealing with him. Because now you, in this series against the White Sox, you got to see all the promise. Like, all of the things that people have been talking about with Byron Buxton. Good defense, him being so fast, and him hitting the ball out of the yard. So, as I've been saying for the last week, Cubs and White Sox can help each other out this week, and we all need to click up, and we need to be like Predator. And the White Sox need to take care of business against the Reds, because that helps the Cubs. And the Cubs need to take care of business against the Twins, because that gets the magic number down. You know, combination of Twins losses and White Sox wins. Get that number to 6, and you have a division winner right there. That would be a lot of fun to celebrate as well. Did you – I don't mean like you were out spraying yourself with champagne, but did you have any sort of celebratory action yesterday?
Yeah, Courtney and I went to our local bar, Walcott Tap, right there in Ravenswood. First time we've really been there since this whole started. It used to be our favorite place, but, you know, not going to be in a place during this pandemic. They have nice outdoor seating, so we felt comfortable, and people were far away from us. So we had some drinks and some food last night, which we wouldn't usually have during the week. And so since the White Sox are in the playoffs, I did a chug for Dubs, I think it is, the guys at Sox on Tap. Johnny Nani and those guys, Tony and Buzz, I wanted to salute them and do a chug. I did it within 4 or 5 seconds. I was a little off of my game. Usually I can do
You're
that
out of two, practice? Two you haven't three. Been chugging?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I had way too much foam on the top, too.
I had a little Haitian rum last night to celebrate.
Is that Haitian rum?
Yeah, I mixed it up a little bit. I had Mexican Coke with Haitian rum. It was delightful.
You're smooth. Not that much of a drinker either, so
I'm not, but I will say that I would say over the last couple of years I've been experimenting with different rums. Like, that's kind of my drink of choice. And I was like, oh, you know what? What if I mix these two heavenly things together? Because now I am only in it for sugarcane Coke and Sprite. Give me the Coke and Sprite that are made in Mexico. That's what I want. And I used it with my Haitian rum, toasted the White Sox a little bit, got a delivery from the Cap Ferry. So I was worried about running out of caps. I got some this time, and shout out to the folks over at the White Sox. They know who they are. I don't want to give their names out.
David Kaplan came over to your house? Why?
No, he would never. But I got a whole new thing. Some of these are out of this world. Some of these caps that I'm going to be rocking the rest of the way are incredible. And I think that what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a bulk of those caps away after this season is done. No matter how it ends, I'm going to give a bulk of those caps away. And I'm trying to figure out how, but one lucky White Sox fan is going to get the bulk of the caps that I have been using for the LoHo recaps on Twitter. At Lawrence W. Holmes is where you can find me. Like, I do them every night after the game is over. If they lose, I wear, like, this old, like, giveaway cap that I have for being a season ticket holder. And if they win, I do a different cap. So it's been 33 different ones so far. And I think I'm covered. I think I'm covered the rest of the way. It'll be good. Why is this guy laughing at Mexican Coke? Do you not understand? It's delicious. With the pure sugar cane. Oh, so much better and smoother. I'm never going back, man. Never going back.
I don't know if there's been a study done or anything, but drinks in a bottle just taste better to me. Maybe that's just my chemistry in my brain just thinking about that. But I feel that they taste much better. And with the regular sugar instead of artificial sugar, yeah, you can't go wrong.
It's delicious on its own. And then you find a good rum to team with it. Oh, as Herbie would say, smooth. I want to take a break. When I come back, I want to talk about the Bears run game real quick. Oh, wait, I forgot the Cubs thing that I was – wait, I want to – let's do that. Let's pay that tease off. I don't want to not pay that tease off. So, yesterday, Maddie Lee was on the show. She's great. She covers the Cubs for NBC Sports Chicago. She said something about the Cubs' approach to the end of the year that I thought you should hear. Take a listen.
They had a moment the other night where before the game, Anthony Rizzo brought some of the guys together and talked about trying to make adjustments, not for their own numbers, which, you know, it's a weird season. It's a short season. Their numbers are not reflective of what they might have been over a 162-game season. But instead of making those adjustments for themselves, they talked about making those adjustments for the team. And I think you're starting to see with Anthony Rizzo, with Javier Baez, you've seen that kind of switch, and it's starting to pay dividends for them.
I really like that idea. And like I was saying to Maddie, it's almost like a team approach that mirrors Anthony Rizzo's two-strike approach. Don't worry about what your baseball card has said and that you aren't on those numbers right now. Don't worry about it. All we need to, and Chris Bryant, if all you're doing is hitting singles, so be it, as long as you're getting on base. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just be you. But here's some good news about that. Cubs have obviously won four in a row. They've won seven out of their last nine. Javi Baez has hit safely in the last four games. I think he and Brian have clicked on, and I think that that's a good thing. Bear stuff for you. We're going to talk about their run game next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I will say that I've enjoyed having football back because of the type of guests that we have at our disposal to talk about and learn things. And I like talking with Matt Forte about a lot of different subjects, and I think that you should check out his True Versus Truth podcast that he does. And if you missed the entire interview that we did earlier this week, you should check it out because there's some great stuff on Allen Robinson in there, because Forte kind of went through this himself as a player, and the story he told about the negotiation with Jerry Angelo was fantastic. But since you're getting ready on a Bears Friday for the Bears versus the Giants, you're probably wondering whether or not the Bears can duplicate some of the things that they did in the run game. And it was cool because you saw the Bears run with Mitch under center. You saw them run effectively with 4.5 yards a carry. So I asked Forte about how it's sustainable and asked him to kind of break down why we saw them be better in the run game.
Well, for one thing, I know I never really faced any 6-man or 7-man boxes. It's always 8, 9 guys in the box. So when you do that, that gives the guys on the outside a chance to be one-on-one those matchups, or if they're doubling somebody, somebody else is having a matchup where they're going to be open. And like you said, going under center, that adds to the play-action game. I couldn't stand when we would run the ball out of the gun constantly and then try to do play-action from under center. They know we're not going to run the, you know, they notice that those things, those tendencies. But also, if we haven't been running, you know, from the eye, what would make them think that we're going to hand it off this time? So this is a consistency part of staying with formations like that, I think, is a big change from last year, because they were in the gun a lot last year. And as a running back, too, I know David and probably, you know, even Tariq and Cordero, they probably like running from under, you know, when the quarterback's under center, because you get a longer start and let the play develop. You let your blocks develop, and you're able to see more of the field than being on one side of the quarterback and having to, you know, let the Florida defense go. It's harder to do that from the gun, especially in the NFL.
So if you're doing like zone read stuff and you're able, or zone run play, like you're able to find where that cutback lane is easier out of under center than versus the shotgun?
Yeah, definitely. You know, in the shotgun, you're at 5.5 yards. Usually under center, you know, I would actually get back almost close to 8 yards, but usually people are at 7, because I would get to the line of scrimmage almost too fast sometimes. So I would back up a little bit. And I actually learned that from Thomas Jones, watching his film. He used to be almost out of the screen when he was playing for the Bears. And so I would back up a little bit, you know, take your zone steps and really let the Florida defense consider where you can go. Because when you have the vision, you really let the defense determine, you know, where you're going to go. You know, let them pick and choose the hole and let the offensive line do their job. And then you can be able to set up blocks. That's the good thing about being in the eye, is to be able to set up blocks, because there's times where you can run an inside zone and, you know, these, you know, guys been playing for years. They know what an inside zone looks like. They know where the cutback's supposed to go. And if you're a cutback runner, they kind of predict where your tendencies are doing that. So sometimes you could cut back and then go back to the front side and set up your blocks that way. And that comes with experience and obviously running the ball too. But you can't really do that out of the gun.
I'm curious on what the Bears offense looks like this week and if we're going to see Mitch continue to take snaps from under center. I think it's a valuable tool that's at their disposal. I also think that it's a benefit for him in play action, and it takes a little getting used to do it that way, because a lot of guys are used to the play action out of the gun, where you're completely looking at the defense the entire time while you're dealing with the mesh point on the fake. It's different when you're under center, that you have to kind of turn your back to the defense a little bit and then read and react very quickly. I thought that Mitch did a decent job of that. Not great, because there was a lot of clunkiness early on in that game. Once Detroit started playing man, though, it was super easy for Mitch. But I like them running out of I formation with Mitch under center. I think it opens up a lot of things that you can do offensively. And I'm super happy that Matt Forte was able to break it down as intelligently as he did. I'll talk with Danny Parkins coming up next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.